13 weeks. That's how long we've been doing church online all the time. And who would have guessed all of those weeks ago that the pandemic would have impacted our lives in such significant ways and that we would face still such uncertainty into the future? But in light of all of this, we began to talk as a team about what we wanted to do in our summer sermon series differently because of world events. Now, as we began to make those decisions and make those plans, we could not have foreseen what has happened in the life of our country as the death of Ahmaud Arbery was brought to public light, as the murder of George Floyd has erupted with protests and outcries and demands for justice in our world. And in light of the pandemic and in light of all that's happening around us, it seems so appropriate that this summer we dig into this question. And here's the question we can wrestle with. What reason do you have to hope? In light of all that's happening around us, what reason do you have to hope? Because I want you to have a rock solid reason to believe that there is hope for the future. And I don't mean hope that we'll get back to the normal or the new normal or the pivot or whatever way you're talking about it. I'm talking about a reason to hope that can outlast you and that preceded you. And so this summer, we're starting a brand new series and we're calling it The Story of Hope. The Story of Hope. And for the next 14 weeks, we are going to start in Genesis and we are going to work all the way through the scriptures to Revelation, and we are going to see the story of hope unfold right before our eyes. And wherever you find yourself today, whatever situation you find yourself in, I want you to know that when we think about the story of hope, one of the reasons you and I can find hope is this: your story is never the whole story. Your story is never the whole story. We're going to see something bigger than all of us. Now, in order to help us connect with the story of hope, I want to give you some homework, even though school's almost out. And we have put a page on our website, I'll show it to you right here, and this page on our website has a Bible study that goes along with the story of hope. So you go to gracebible.church, you scroll down a little bit, and each week, whether it's with your family or your community group, with some friends, each week, you can study the passage that we're going to talk about the following Sunday. So this is not sermon review, this is sermon preview. And I'd love for you to do that with us, because as we think about finding hope, I want you to find it for yourself. I want you to have confidence that there is hope for the future. And so today we are going to begin in the beginning, in the book of beginnings. We are going to begin in Genesis chapter 1. Now, of course, there is more in Genesis chapter 1 than we could ever talk about in one Sunday. And in fact, we talked about Genesis 1 earlier this year in January. But I want to highlight a place that you and I can find hope, and that we can find hope for people we love. We can find hope for for all people. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image." That word's going to be important in just a minute. "In our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And this is the first account of the creation of man and the creation story. Before this, God had been creating sun and moon and birds and sky and land and sea, and now he gets to the creation of humanity. Now, you might be familiar with this account of creation, but let me encourage you that when this was written down, it was a radically new way to think about creation. That into the world that this was written, into the ancient Near East, there were actually many, 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 maybe a dozen, maybe two dozen different creation accounts. I don't know if you knew that or not. But that all civilizations have had a way of thinking about how did the world begin. Now, one of the most popular accounts of creation in the ancient world was the Babylonian account. And in the Babylonian account of creation, the little gods, because there were little gods and big gods, the little gods came to the big god Marduk, and they said to Marduk, "We're tired of doing all this work. Can you give us some help?" And I actually want to quote to you from this Babylonian creation myth. Here it is. Marduk responds. He says, I will establish a savage. Man shall be his name. He shall be charged with the service of the gods that they might be at ease. Now, I want you to think about this and think about in light of the creation account, how different they are. In the Babylonian creation myth, humanity is created to be a servant, to serve the gods. But in the account of creation from the Hebrew scriptures, the account that Jesus pointed to, humanity wasn't created to serve the gods. Humanity was created to image God, created in God's image. And here's why this matters. Your view of your past, and I don't mean just your little past, I mean like all the way back, will influence your future. Your view of your past will influence your future. See, what you think about your recent past matters. I mean, how can we miss the fact that in the Babylonian creation myth, humanity was created to be a slave to the gods? And if you see yourself as a slave, it is going to shape your potential for your future. Can you feel the implications for our country and the history we've come out of 400 years ago, forced chattel slavery, and the way for generations and generations that shaped an identity? But the good news is, your hope for your future is determined not by your recent past or hundreds of years of past, all the way back. Your hope for the future is determined by your past, and your past is so much bigger than your lifetime or your grandparents or the history of our country. See, if we're only finding hope in now, if we're only finding hope in what we can remember in our lifetimes, we will not have hope at all. But I have hope for you, and I want you to have hope for you because of what God has done in you from the very beginning of creation. Listen to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Male and female, all of humanity is created in the image of God. Now, what is an image? I want to make this really clear. Here's an image. An image is a visible representation of an invisible being. A visible representation of an invisible being. That means that when Adam and Eve were created and they were wandering around the garden, it's likely that an animal could have been walking by, and I don't know how animals think or if animals talked in the garden. I don't know any of that, but just for the sake of playing with me, that an animal would have wandered upon Adam and Eve and may have thought to himself, oh, is that God? Oh, no, that's not God. That's Adam and Eve. Because Adam and Eve were created to be the visible image of our invisible God. But I want you to think a little bit more about the God in whose image you were created. You're created in the image of God, who, when there was nothing, spoke the world into existence. You're created in the image of God, who looked at all of creation and said, I want to create a special being, humanity, to represent me to the world. And God as the creator, God as the ruler, God as the supreme being, God as the king of the universe created you in his image. See, all throughout the scriptures, this kingly language is attributed to God. God is the great sovereign. God is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And it is right to think about God like that. But if that's who God is, who does that make you? Because if he's the King of kings and you're created in his image, well, here's what it means. Our past tells us we are created as kings and queens. We are created as kings and queens on this earth. That's who you are. Nobody else might treat you like that. Nobody else might have told you that. You might not feel that in your gut. But if you can get out of your recent past and get all the way back, you were created in the past to be a king or a queen. That is who you are. And because that's your identity, that's your purpose, that's what you were created for, that past can launch you to have hope in the future. But if we're created as kings and queens, what are we created to do. We'll look at Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, Adam and Eve, male and female, created equal in God's image. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Because what does a king do? A king subdues and a king rules. God rules over all, and we, as humans created in his image, are also created to rule. It's what our past tells us. Our past tells us we were created to rule. You were created to rule. Here's what it means to rule over. I want you to see this. Here's what it means to rule over. It's to actively partner with God in reflecting God to the world. To partner with God in reflecting God to the world. So our job in our humanity is to reflect God's rule to the world. Reflect God's rule to the world. That our job is to make the world more like God created it to be. Now look at the way this can give us hope for the future, our past. Our past tells us we are kings and queens created to rule. We are kings and queens created to rule. And it is in me. And it is in you, it is in me and it is in you to desire to make a difference in this world. And it's in me and it's in you to want the world to be better than it is. It is in us. Why? Because you're created in God's image. You're created in God's image. Now, I'll tell you, sometimes for me, it's easy to lose sight of being the best version of me. And it's really easy for me to look at others and want to be somebody else. But see, there's no hope for my future in that. There's no hope for you in your future the more you look at others and try to be someone else. You need to be the king or the queen that God created you to be. And you need to help bring order and God's reign to the world in the areas that God has given you to bring justice and righteousness and creativity to the world. I'll tell you, I was reading a book several months ago by a guy named John Mark Comer. I brought the book here. I was reading this book. It's called Garden City. And right about the middle of it, John Mark, who is a brilliant pastor, author. I mean, the guy's just brilliant. I read this in this book, and it stopped me cold. This is about me reflecting on me. John Mark Comer writes this. He says, your job isn't to be the best in your field, just the best version of yourself. I'm like, oh, that's good. He goes on to say, my teaching mentor is this guy, Mike. He says, he took me under his wing when I was about 25, and I've learned a lot from him. Brilliant dude. He could talk about anti-social dynamics for 40 minutes and you would be on the edge of your seat. He's smart, well-read, edgy, and funny. And then John Mark Comer wrote these words. He said, I will never be as good of a teacher as Mike. I work twice as long as my teachings and they're about half as good. And that's just fine because I'm not called to be as good or as better or better than Mike. I'm just supposed to do a good job at being myself. And that was so freeing for me. I mean, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Because I spend so much time wanting to be like someone else, some other pastor, wanting to be like John Mark Comer, who is witty and funny and edgy and well-read and writes great books. And it's like the Holy Spirit just said to me, Eric, you're just called to be the best version of you. And I want to say that to you today. You are created in God's image. You are created in God's image. And you are created to reflect God to the world. And as he has given it to you, for you to do what he has put in you. So God's put it in me. I love to preach. I love to lead. I don't have to apologize for that. It's who he made me to be. And I don't have to compete with any other preacher. And I don't have to compete with any other leader because my goal shouldn't be to be better than anybody else. My goal should be to be the best version of me. And that should be yours too. to do a good job at being yourself. So whatever you do, be the best version of you. Now let's think about this for a minute and let's apply this into our modern day situation, right? This transcends all ethnicities. This transcends it. All ethnicities are created in God's image and created to be the best versions of themselves, to rule and reign and bring God's order to creation. But that means that he's put something different in each of us. So if you're created to be a poet, be the poet that God has created you to be. If you're created to be an engineer, be the engineer that God has created you to be. If you love teaching, be the best teacher that God has created you to be. And we want to say, if you're a police officer, be the best police officer that God has created you to be. Because we deny that we have to pick sides between pursuing racial justice, which is a part of bringing God's order to the world, and we will continue to work for that as a church, because we believe that all people are created in the image of God. And we are so thankful that there are men and women who are called to bring order to our world through law enforcement. We're so thankful for the police officers, for the soldiers, the sailors, the Marines, the National Guardsmen and women who are doing their best to bring order. Now, are there bad apples? Of course, as there are in every field. And heck, I'm a pastor. You don't have to look very far to see guys like me who've gone crazy. But God has put it in us to do different things as it relates to caring for his world. Here's the way it's supposed to work. So this mirror is what it's supposed to be. People are supposed to see us, and then we reflect God back to them. That they look at us and we reflect God back to them, and that your life becomes God's reflection in the world. The problem is that doesn't always happen. Now, why doesn't that always happen? Well, we don't have time to read all of it, but if you go through Genesis 1 and 2, eventually you get to Genesis 3. And in Genesis 3, the serpent is introduced to the story and has a conversation with Eve and then Adam and Eve, and they decide to trust themselves rather than God. They decide to trust themselves rather than God. And we read it like this way in Genesis 3:5. The serpent says, "For God knows that when you eat from it, from this tree, the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Do you get how preposterous this was? What did we just see? They were already like God. They were under God. They were created, though, in his image. They were already like God. They were created to image God to the world. But rather than being content to reflect God's image to the world, they decided that they had to be up with God. And so, instead of being willing to reflect God's image to the world, they decided, oh no, what would be much better would be to gaze at my own image. And when we were created to reflect God's image to the world, humanity has spent our time looking in the mirror. And none of us do better when we spend our time looking in the mirror. And that's where our selfishness makes a mess of the world, the planet and relationships. We oppress, we subdue, not to bring order and not to create people, build people up in God's image, but to promote ourselves. We use our power and our own interests. We rebel against authority. All of this is the result of the fall. But here's the good news. When Jesus Christ came, he came to restore in you the image of God. He came to bring about, to release the image of God that is already in you. This is how the Apostle Paul said it. The Apostle Paul said it like this. There's a lot of words here, but just stay with me. "For if by the trespass," that's the sin of the one man, speaking of Adam, "death reigned." So God's supposed to reign. People are supposed to reign, but now death is reigning. "Through that one man," death reigned through that one man, "how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace," this is all through Jesus, "and the gift of righteousness," listen, "reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, we are to reign in life. This is kingly language, that we are to live up to be the kings and the queens that God has created us to be, that we use who God has created us to be to make the world like God wants the world to be, the gift of righteousness to reign in life through Jesus. Here's what I want you to know today. Hope for the future is rooted in the past. Rooted in the past in Genesis, when you were created in God's image, a king and a queen to rule and reign on planet Earth. And rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus, through his death and resurrection, has defeated the power of sin and death so that you might be released to rule and reign. Hope for the future is rooted in the past. Because if we demand to find our hope in the here and now, we will be sorely disappointed. So when you look all around and the future looks bleak and you don't see a way forward and justice seems to have disappeared from the land, and how do we undo hundreds of years of systemic oppression and racism in our country, and we don't see a way forward, don't look ahead, look back. And remember, hope for the future is rooted that God has created us in his image and Christ has redeemed us and released us to rule and reign as God intended us to do. Now, as we go, I want to give you a few questions that you can discuss with your community group or with your family, with the people you're watching this with, and then I'd love to pray for you. Here are the simple questions. I know it's a lot of words, but they're simple. What stood out to you from the message? Just share that with the people you're watching with. Number two, is it difficult for you to keep in mind that you're a king and a queen created to rule? Why or why not? Thirdly, what pain in our world tugs at your heart? What might God be inviting you to do about it? We're all not passionate about the same things. God puts different things in each of us. And finally, where in your life are you, sorry, my typo, are you resisting Jesus? What is he calling you to do? Hope for the future is rooted in the past. Let's look back to what Jesus has done to give us hope for the future. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and where we feel hopeless, we pray that you would help us to root our hope, not in our potential, but what you have done, and God, who you've created us to be. And when we don't know where to go or where to look, may we look to being created in your image and redeemed by Christ. And when we look across the aisle and we see people who we don't like or who look different than us or for whom there is tension, may we all remember that they too are created in the image of God, kings and queens, created to rule. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.